This is By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome and good evening, everybody, to By Yahweh's Design. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over the Heritage Broadcasting System. We come to you via the Internet, Galaxy Satellite System, and in some areas, you're privileged enough to have FM rebroadcasters, and we ask Yahweh to bless each and every one of you. Our first and foremost dedication goes to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, who is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we give him all the praise, the glory, and honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring truth to his holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Aryan peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh, all praise Yahweh in Hebrew. This is a two seed line racial covenant identity ministry, and we teach that doctrine, and we also are in a continual quest for truth, and many times you'll hear us mention either authors or different books that we come across, and we believe at all times to keep an open mind, for I believe our Father is dealing with us in this day as he has in the past. There's a severe famine in this land, and it's a famine for truth at the time, and it's our job to get that truth to you and to bust the comfort zone that so many of our people seem to have around them, like nothing's going wrong. Tonight's program is entitled Conspiratology Part 2, and then in just a little bit, I'm going to bring our guest, who is Richard Masker from Idaho, back onto the program. He was here some time ago, a few weeks ago. We had an excellent chat about conspiratology and deprogramming of men in uniform, so we'll be picking up where we left off. But before we get to that part, I want to dedicate also this program to a fallen warrior amongst our people. Dr. Harvey Doc Graber passed away this week, and I have a little bio on him that his wife sent to me graciously, and let me read that to you. Harvey Doc Graber was born January 11, 1918 in South Dakota. He grew up on a farm and moved to Greater Los Angeles in 1941. He worked for the Northrop Aircraft Company until he went to Chiropractic College in Davenport, Iowa in the 1940s. He practiced chiropractic medicine for 52 years. His hobbies, he liked gardening, the ocean, specifically deep sea fishing, and of course, studying the Word of Yahweh. The only book he wrote, which I currently have a copy I'm reading, is How Holy is Your Bible? And his main goal in life was helping people, spiritually and health-wise. We send our condolences to Mrs. Graber, and we, again, we pay homage to a fallen warrior amongst our people, Dr. Graber, and I have, as I said, a copy of his book, How Holy is Your Bible, and it's quite an eye-opener. Anybody interested in getting information on how you can order that, you can email us at BYD, By Yahweh's Design, at posse-comitatus.org. And you'll have to excuse me, I also have the flu, as Cherise has, so if you hear me coughing or sniffling, you'll have to forgive me. A couple quick announcements. Tomorrow was the scheduled visit of David Duke to the lower Michigan area. He was going to come to a one-day seminar, but due to an illness that he is suffering with right now, that had to be canceled. His visiting had to be canceled. The meeting is still scheduled to go on, and we encourage any and all who plan to attend to go for the fellowship and education that other speakers who have been arranged for will provide. But again, David Duke will not be there, and we will reschedule his visit to the lower Michigan area. Also announced that some people on the Internet had received a notice about a gunstock rebellion initiating in the state of Michigan. That's a hoax, folks, so forget that one. We would wish that some store owners and men of Israel in this country had that kind of intestinal fortitude, but unfortunately they don't, so that's a hoax, and don't get carried away with it. We also acknowledge other heroes amongst our kind, Dr. Kelly and Dr. Judy of Pennsylvania. Richard Masker, my guest tonight, Dr. Graber, Philip Glidden, who is the author of another book I've just recently received called Trading on Guilt. And Mr. Glidden is a PhD, and I'm hoping to have him as a guest here shortly, but Trading on Guilt is an expose of the Jews using the legal and education system to push their agenda on our school children. It is quite an expose. Also, Mr. Mark Ludwig, who is the author of The Third Paradigm, God and Government in the 21st Century. I'm also going to attempt to get this gentleman on the program eventually, but the book looks to be excellent. Both of these books are available for a $10 donation, postage paid, if you'll contact us at P.O. Box 436. That's Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. And one last thing here, or two things real quick. The call-in number is, for tonight, 877-570-3733. We also would wish you that you would help Heritage Broadcasting System both by being in your prayers and letters of encouragement with possible donations. You can contact Heritage Broadcasting System at P.O. Box 5583, Evansville, Indiana, 47716. All right. Again, our program tonight is Conspiratology, Part 2. And is Richard on with us yet?
Not yet.
Oh, he hasn't called in yet?
No, he hasn't.
Okay, well, let me see what else I can cover here then. Some of the questions we're going to go into with Mr. Masker. Now, he is a law enforcement consultant and deprogrammer in the state of Idaho. And recently, Mr. Alan Keyes went out there for a visit, and a lot of our folks were falling all over themselves because this guy is saying what he's saying. And I've had many people say, well, how come we don't have white people saying the same thing? And that's why they idolize this black man. Well, folks, there's a lot of white people saying the exact same thing, but do you think the Jew is going to let them on the air so that you can hear them? Come on, get real. Mr. Keyes is nothing more than another Trojan horse, no different than Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of them that they pander out in front of you in the media, and then you sit there and go googly-eyed at them, acting like nobody with Anglo-Saxon blood in them can think the same thoughts. Well, you're just being fooled. Anything the Jew puts on the tube is for your deception and to convince you that he knows what's best for you, and that's something you're going to have to get over. You got to pry yourself away from the media because that's the tool that Satan and the Jew is using against you. I'm going to go into this trading on guilt. Andy, let me know when Richard gets on, if you would. But the book, Trading on Guilt, is Holocaust Education in the Public Schools. The author, again, is Philip Glidden, who's a PhD and presently resides in Orlando, Florida. He sent me a nice letter here explaining why he's doing what he's doing. He became aware of the fact that the Jews were organizing in Florida and other states, but he specifically found out about what was going on in Florida. And they, in 1994, he became aware of the passage of an educational law called the Florida Holocaust Law, which was FS233.061F, and it was to be incorporated into the Florida public school system. The law was forced through the legislature by Jewish advocates and legislators who wrote the law and intimidated the rest of their weak-willed colleagues to vote for it. In other words, non-Jewish members of the legislature were threatened with being labeled as anti-Semites if they didn't support the law. After the law was passed and signed by Governor Childs, the then Commissioner of Education, Doug Jamison, who's a black man, appointed a task force on Holocaust education to implement the law into the public schools. The task force consisted of a dominant number of Jewish educators, most of whom were Holocaust, quote, survivors or victims in some way of the Holocaust. Who in the Jewish community isn't? As soon as they had control of the committee, they began a widespread initiative to educate and propagandize teachers in providing seminars at leading Florida universities and colleges. They have proceeded almost without any control or hindrance with their program, the sole purpose of which is to install trauma, guilt, and pain into the minds of teachers who then pass them on to their students. The ultimate plan is to program students so that when they reach adulthood, they will never become a danger to Jewish survival. The task force was operated so clandestinely that the chair, Rosita Kenensberg, a professor at Florida International University in Miami and executive secretary of the Miami Holocaust Memorial Museum, has never held an open meeting in defiance of the Florida Sunshine Law, which is 286.011. After being rebuffed a number of times, I sued the Commissioner of Education and two members of the task force, including Kenensberg, and was able to get a court order to force them to have open meetings. As a consequence of the lawsuit, I was able to get the state attorney of Dade County to force Kenensberg to provide me with copies of the minutes of their meetings. It was from these minutes that I was able to determine the extent of their ambitions and how they were able to intimidate Mr. Jameson and the subsequent commissioners to do their bidding. I also have interrogatories with this suit, interrogatories from the suit, which reveal the lies, double standard, and the conspiracy intent inherent in the entire operation. What I have discovered has been put into my book, along with what I have learned about Jewish endeavors in other states to essentially take over the public school system. The Florida episode is an incredible disgrace that needs to be aired, but which state legislatures and media refuse to touch. Again, that was excerpts from a letter by the good professor, and Mr. Glidden. And the book is Trading on Guilt, Holocaust Education in the Public Schools. And let me just give you a few of the titles from the table of contents here, and you'll have some idea what this book covers. The origin of Holocaust laws and their purpose, Holocaust, its meaning and significance, Jews and Judaism, concerning hate and hate groups, the political use of invective, Chapter 5, Anti-Semitism, its use and misuse, 6, stereotyping, racism, and prejudice. 7, the effect of Holocaust education on children. 8, is Holocaust laws as a civil rights issue. 9, the Holocaust conspiracy, new evidence. And the conclusion and epilogue, and he's got it full of notes and different things of that, and copies of letters, etc. Very, very good book exposing what they're trying to do to our children. And again, if you write to us with a $10 donation, we'll make one of those available to you. Postage paid. And the third paradigm, God and government in the 21st century. Now, the folks who put this book out are the same people who have a little booklet called A Manifesto for Christian Government. Now, this little booklet is dynamite to give to the Judeo-Christian types who are totally brainwashed to think that whatever government does is okay. And it's only a $1 donation. Send us a $1 donation, we'll make this little booklet available to you. And multiple copies, of course, you can make arrangements with us, and we'll send you and they bring the price down. But this little booklet needs to be read by the vast majority of those who claim to be Christian in our land today. And let me read the table of contents of it to you here real quick. The great sin, who is God, the first paradigm, divine monarchy, failure of the first paradigm, phase 1 and 2, the second paradigm, which is representative government and its failure, what is the third paradigm, the limiting principle of the third paradigm, organization of the civil government, and then we get into civil law, God and man, civil law, marriage and sexual relationships, civil law, violence, civil law, property, civil law, slavery, civil law, other matters, and civil law, judicial procedure. And then we have God's whole law and government, mercy, justice, and the state, reformation and revolution, birth pangs of the third paradigm, and what the future holds. And off the back of the jacket, we have this information. We are living in an age in which great nations are failing. Once prosperous nations strive to hide their bankruptcy, so they can continue their borrowing and spending. once righteous nations now populate their highest posts with every kind of corruption. Boy, does that sound like America? And ideals like freedom no longer seem to merit public discussion. Even when laws are enacted, they are a slap in the face to every friend of liberty and every thinking man. The failure we are experiencing is a paradigm failure, one that involves the very ideas upon which modern governments are founded. This book analyzes this failure in light of Scripture, taking a grand tour of history to look at past failures of a similar magnitude. Armed with this keen insight, you will understand how today's great failure can only be resolved by going back to the Bible in a model of civil government, which is the third paradigm. You will also learn just what this biblical model consists of, and see that it is not a model for the distant past or the future. Rather, it is something for real men in today's world. Just bear with me here for a quick second. I want to get a phone number for Andy, if you would. Now, Dr. Graver's book, we have somebody going to check on Mr. Masker and find out what happened here in a few minutes, so bear with me here again. We'll take this time to discuss some of these books. But anyway, Dr. Graver's book is over 530 pages long, so it's a fairly long book. And he goes into How Holy Is Your Bible? Now, nobody is stating that this is going to be 100% in agreement with what you believe, but it causes you to think and question and investigate, which, as far as I'm concerned, those are good things. And let me just read you some of the chapters out of his book, and if you're interested, again, you contact us. We'll tell you how to order one of these books. But the Bible construction, and number two is who was Moses. Number three, was Moses an Israelite? Number four, the Levitical Leviathan priesthood. Number five is Mosaic artifacts, idolatry. Six is the ritualism of Moses. Seven, Bible prophets. Eight is transition from the old to the new. Nine, beyond Christianity, strong meat. 10 is mystery Babylon the Great. 11, what is a Gentile? 12, a Christian understanding of Judaism. 13 is heathen alien inundation. Next is the heresies of religion, render unto Caesar, the high calling, commandments, statutes, and judgments, the everlasting throne of David, Germany, the tribe of Judah, a rugged road, the love of life, what is Christmas, mystery Babylon the Great, statement of principles and faith, it is written, strangers that curse in Israel, the Dead Sea Scrolls, come now and let us reason, the judgment of God, the seed of the serpent, your life is in your blood. Jesus, ritual murder, AIDS, the gospel of Jesus Christ, eugenic versus cacogenic, what is the law, what price we pay, inquisition now, the blood sacrifice, justification, salvation and redemption for America, hybrid Christianity, burn your Bible if, and potpourri. Again, this is material to make you think and make you dig a little bit, because as I've found many, many people, they rely on somebody else constantly to tell you what's in the Scripture and what's for real, when a lot of times our Heavenly Father put that burden upon you, the individual. You're supposed to seek out these matters, and if my contention is if you're asking Him for the truth, He'll make sure you find it somehow. So we got a lot of problems in this land, as the previous hour's program with Charlotte Isabite, with her book, The Dumbing Down of America, that's a serious problem in this country. Our children are coming out of these schools, and they don't have a good education. They've spent years of being babysat and indoctrinated with whatever the teaching establishment wants them to know, but they're not given an education as far as a good, sound basics, and, most importantly, taught anything at all about morality and investigation and questioning attitude.
You have Richard on the line.
Excuse me?
You have Richard on the line.
Oh, excellent. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Well, thank you.
All righty. I'll tell you what, I was just kind of rambling on there for the folks, but I happened to notice from our last program that there were some unanswered questions. If you wouldn't mind, we go into them a little bit before we get on to some new questions I got.
Sure, that's fine.
Okey-doke. And real quick, if you would, I didn't mention anything about your background. If you want to just kind of tell the folks, you know, who you are and what your background is and what you enjoy doing, and then we'll pick up with the question.
Okay, well, I have a life profession of city supervisor. I'm a college graduate, and I work in water engineering and water treatment. And right now I'm kind of on a disabled list and sort of semi-retired. But 1980 is when I came up with the word conspiratology, because I realized that we were dealing with an international Judeo-Marxist conspiracy. And basically we are all victims of crime. We're victims of genocide and fraud and embezzlement and extortion and the whole bailiwick. And so I had to come up with an idea that the general public could accept, look at, and would be reasonable. And since we're dealing with a conspiracy, I came up with conspiratology. And I'm from a law enforcement background. My father and my family have been in law enforcement for years, and I have a great respect for American law enforcement. So I thought, well, criminology is what they deal with in crime, and conspiratology is the highest form of crime. And it worked out quite well. And so it's what I've been doing ever since, is trying to solve the crimes and the mysteries of the international Judeo-Marxist New World Order conspiracy. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, exactly right. And my hat's off to you. I noticed a few questions here. Now, we don't spend a lot of time on them. Just to recap kind of from the last time you were on, you had one here. How many members do you have?
I don't have any members at all.
Okay.
We have associates, but we don't have members, and we don't have a list of members. We have conspiratologists working all over the world, and it is an association of like-minded people who are trying to awaken their fellow human beings to this terrible, terrible crime.
Absolutely. I like that. We got to go to a break here in a few minutes, but let me get this other one here. Is it dangerous to be a conspiratologist?
Well, probably not any more dangerous than anyone else would be in dealing with this subject. What I mean by that is that apparently, from my experience, the more underground you are, the more dangerous it is. If you come right out in the open and say, here I am, this is what I'm doing, they're afraid of you. They're afraid of your publicity. They're afraid of your credibility. And the more open and honest, we do not wear those little bed sheets with little holes in them and run around like clowns. We don't pull that kind of trick. We are very proud people. We're white people mostly. I have politically deprogrammed a lot of non-whites and brought non-whites to the knowledge of how they are also being used by the system.
Uh-huh.
So we don't hide. We come right out in the open, and we deprogram police departments and FBI agents. And we're proud of what we do, and because of that, we are not basically targets.
Okay. And one more here before we get to the new stuff. What are the two best books that we should be reading?
Well, boy, that's a good one. We have a tremendous conspiratology library. I suspect that right now, at this particular time, the two books that I would recommend, the first is a new book by David Duke called My Awakening. That's a book that you can bring yourself up to date on the Jewish conspiracy, and also recommend it to your friends. It's a wonderful hardback book, came out in December of last year. And then the other book is a little more difficult to find. It's called The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed. Now, Douglas Reed was a prominent editor for the London Times, and he takes the conspiracy back to its very beginning almost 3,000 years ago, brings it all the way through Europe and right up until about 1950. And then if you've got the long back history of how the Jews have criminalized the world populations and how they've been expelled from nation after nation because of their criminal activities, then David Duke's book will bring you up to date, and those are the two prominent books that you should really have.
Oh, okay.
It's The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed and My Awakening by David Duke.
And the other one was Controversy of
Zion.
Zion, okay. Okay, sounds like a couple really good ones there. I have My Awakening, and I agree with it 100%. That's a superb book. All right, well, let's go to the new stuff then we have here, because last time you mentioned a book that you had, I believe you said you had read, called Rare Earth, and then you had a run-in with the author, or Professor Peter Ward. I wonder if you could go on.
Did I talk to you on the air about that?
Excuse me?
I didn't talk to you on the air about that, did I?
No.
Oh, I didn't think so. Okay. Do you want me to go into that little episode?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, it is kind of an interesting story, and for your listening audience, there is a point to be made, and I hope to get to that more as we get into this. For many years, my hobby has been astronomy, and I've been an amateur astronomer, and I love to look at the stars and study the physics and the mathematics of the universe. And one of the questions that I had, or one of the concerns I had, was how, looking at it from strictly a scientific point of view, not from a religious point of view, I wanted to know how rare living beings were on a planet with intelligent life. Now, we know that there's a difference, a great deal of difference between life and intelligent life. And so I had come to a lot of conclusions and done a lot of research on my own, and then I discovered that Peter Ward, he's the professor of science and geology at the University of Washington in Seattle. He produced a new book out called Rare Earth. And so when I found out about it, I got the book and read it very feverishly, and was very, very accepting of the book. Now, a little back history, there's a Jewish scientist called Carl Sagan that the entire world and the whole universe knows about. He's been glorified by the Jewish science industry, because he's the scientist that went into billions and trillions and quadrillions of stars and went on and on and on. So they made him a real celebrity on that situation. And he was theorizing that the universe was just filled with billions and trillions and jillions of living intelligent organisms. Well, he kind of got together with Frank Drake, who was the founder of SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and they were able to get a lot of money together to form a radio astronomy program to try to find radio signals in the universe that would indicate living intelligent species. Well, this went on for some time, and I was quite concerned about this whole thing, about the relative numbers of intelligent beings, and so I read the book by Peter Ward, and in the book, he talks about extinction periods that the Earth has gone through, and he lists extinction periods like the climate changes and impact events and Earth tilt and diseases and the human availability, the humans being on the planet have multiplied, and they have created extinction for many thousands of organisms, species. So I contacted Peter Ward, and I wanted to add number 10 to the list on extinction species, and that was what we call the human parasitic extinction explosion. And that's the Jewish racial ascendancy for global domination program. I consider that an intentional human genocidal extinction program. And he found that very quite interesting. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make here very quickly, because we don't have very much time, is that there is a program of extinction by the international Jews. And if your house is infested with a parasite, who do you call? You don't call the Ghostbusters, you call an exterminator. But what do you, Pastor Dan, who do you call when you find that your planet is infested with a parasitic organism that is absolutely hell-bent on dominating and totally controlling that planet at the expense of all other organisms? So that's the point to be made here. And I guess that's where it ends right now. I'm just still looking at the program, and this is what conspiratology is all about. But the bottom line is that your listening audience should start to sit back and start to think about, what about this precious thing called life? This rare earth, this extremely unique organisms of intelligent beings. This is the most precious thing in the entire universe. And what should be the ramifications for willfully killing and destroying and maiming and mutilating the universe's most precious commodity?
I agree with you 100%. Their track record speaks for itself. The Messiah told us you'll know them by their fruits.
Right.
It's interesting that you mention our friends, the communist Jews, because that's where communism came from. And
right.
I've got a special edition of The New American put out by the John Birch Society, special report called Conspiracy for Global Control. And gee, guess who are the biggest perpetrators of the mass murders around the globe in this mad rush to control the world? Communists. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And the leaders of these communist regimes, isn't it amazing? Every time you look, you'll find another Jew.
Well, I think as far as something is amazing, the John Birch Society came out with a very outstanding publication giving the history of the conspiracy through the Rothschilds and the Illuminati and the whole breakdown. And then I think it was on page like 127, they give a list of all the bankers and all the key men in the conspiracy for, quote, communism. They keep calling it communism. And then they denounce it as not a Jewish conspiracy, as some have alluded to, and yet every single name that they listed in that publication on that section were all Jewish bankers and political heads of state. Mm-hmm. So take a double take on that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he said in John 8:44 that, you know, they are their father the devil, and he also said that when they speak a lie, they speak their own language. They're the masters of lying and deception.
Right.
Anybody that's ever dealt with them, I have, and they fit the stereotype. Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe we can cover a little bit more on that as we continue.
Sure. All right, I'll get to the next question I had for you. I was reading off the internet and whatnot that Mr. Alan Keyes was up in your area here recently, and if I'm not mistaken, you were personally at the visit, were you not?
Yes, I was.
How about
with bells on.
Would you want to go into that a little bit for us?
Yes, you were talking about lies and deceit of the enemies and how they work. I think our people are extremely programmed. We have a populace that is so loving and kind and generous and humanitarianistic. We're ignorant and naive and gullible and innocent so much that so many of our people are taken in by real con artists and shysters in the political arena. In our local area here, we have a political network, and every now and then they'll get together and they'll have a party or they'll have a public picnic or whatever. And we had an individual who was a doctor who came around, and he was a Jewish doctor with a very Jewish name. You know, those political Jewish ducks that if they walk and quack and fly and swim and look like a duck, they are probably ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this individual was a very prominent duck, and he would hold these meetings, and he would talk on holistic medicine and herbal remedies and all kinds of things, and he would talk conspiracy, and he would talk all kinds of truths. Now, I want your audience to remember that truth can be used as a two-edged sword. The enemy can talk as much truth as we can. And they can do it for very subversive reasons. And the point that I'm making here is that this doctor that went around was pulling off the same identical type of scam that the black Alan Keyes does in politics today. Let me just bring you up to date on this meeting that we had here in Coeur d'Alene. The New World Order always sends out its spies. It wants to know what the enemy is doing, what its forces are, the size of it, what is the sexual component, how many men, how many women, how many teenagers, what color are they, black, white, brown, whatever. They're always checking out the enemy population so they can establish strategy for their warfare against us. Now, a few days ago at the NIC, the North Idaho College Auditorium, there was an announcement in the paper that there was going to be held a, Alan Keyes was going to show up at night. He was supposed to be there about 8 o'clock. Now, he was an hour and a half late. He didn't get there until after 9 o'clock. But it was amazing that people came from all of the outlying communities, from Spokane and Sandpoint and Kellogg and all around the area, and they were all white. I believe out of 1,300 standing room only people, there was only two non-whites there. And most of these people were all very well dressed. They were families with all their children. And they were running around in the hallways before the meeting, and they were saying things like, oh, he's our savior, and oh my goodness, he is the light of America's future, and blah, blah, blah. My wife and I were extremely concerned about what we were witnessing that night, and there was tons of literature, and lots of white teenagers were volunteering to serve the purposes of Mr. Alan Keyes. Well, he was about an hour late, and so the auditorium was full with standing room only, and a lot of the local politicians, and even Dennis Mansfield, who is a Republican candidate to replace Helen Chenoweth, he was there. And so they allowed some of the local politicians to give short talks and to talk to this enormous audience. And so during the talk by Dennis Mansfield, I stood up and raised my hand, and I looked him right square in the face before this entire audience, and I said, Dennis Mansfield, do you believe that treason governs America? And he looked quite shocked at that question, and the whole auditorium was just stone silent. You could hear a pin drop. And he looked into the audience, and he said, yes, I do. And the audience just arose in a hysteria of applause.
Is that right?
And I immediately sat down. Now remember, Keyes wasn't there yet. He had not arrived.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't see this situation with Dennis Mansfield. So after Keyes arrived, he came in with his fanfare and he pranced around and did his routine. And he spoke so much truth, it was amazing. He told the people about the Federal Reserve and how the money was all debunked, and he told them about the lack of foreign policy. He even called Clinton a pig in the White House. And so he got their concern. He got their approval. He developed his credibility with them, and they loved him, and they were sucked right into the system. And mm-hmm. So when it came to the question and answer session, I went down to the microphone in front of Keyes, and I looked him in the eye, and everybody was very quiet at this moment, and I said, Mr. Keyes, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Mansfield. Do you believe that treason governs America? And he got this incredible, shocked look on his face. He was looking right straight into my eye, and I could tell I really nailed him off guard, because he used to be a United Nations representative. He was working for the system, and he still is working for the system, as far as I can tell. And he kind of mumbled, and in a low tone, he said, no. And then he tried to make it appear that there was no treason governs America, but that it was America's fault because of all the problems.
Mm.
Because they didn't vote the proper people into office, and they allowed things to happen because of their laxity, their antipathy. And so I sat down, and that right there absolutely cinched for me what I had told many people and been working on for some time, that he was one of the New World Order stooges that was out doing intelligence investigative work. He was gathering information to report back to the boys behind the scenes.
Another Trojan horse like Rush Limbaugh.
Very much so. That's exactly right. And so basically, I guess you can come down to this thing, that my evaluation of Keyes, that he is an intelligence gathering stooge for the New World Order.
Uh-huh.
He is a black man, so he's trying to pull to see how many whites would actually vote for a black man, and they were there in numbers that night. He's also taking valued votes away from Pat Buchanan, if he can.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, he's doing research for the enemy of our people. And so that's the message I wanted to bring to your listening audience. You may not agree with me, but I saw it firsthand, and oh, the people just thought he was grand. Now people are putting up his campaign poster signs in their front yards around Coeur d'Alene, and it is really sick to watch.
Well, you know what's amazing is the number of people who wouldn't want to put up a Pat Buchanan sign, but they'll put up an Alan Keyes sign.
That's right.
And
that's right. Isn't that
more
sad?
This white guilt propaganda,
yep,
that the Jew is cramming down our throat, and it
right.
shows that it worked.
Now, your audience, I don't know, I want you to hear it from me as a conspiratologist. I want you to understand that the white race is the number one endangered species because the Jews have challenged us, and they have called a holy war against all white people. We have kicked them out of every country in our civilized societies, and they hate us. There is no greater hate on earth than the Jew for the white Gentile person.
Mm-hmm.
We have the most intelligent race. We have the most resources. We have the capability of stopping them in our tracks. And they will kill every single person on this planet just to extinguish our race. That's my evaluation, and I have talked to Jews in person, and they acknowledge, yes, Mr. Masker, you are right. You are first on our endangered species list, and we're going to see to it that you never rise to power again.
Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely
what it's all about, and until we begin to become more assertive and tell people and exchange these ideas and deprogram our law enforcement and our military and our politicians, we're going to be in big trouble. So don't be hesitant. Stand up and be heard.
Oh, I agree with you. Now, I just thought of something here, if you don't mind. You train conspiratologists, do you not?
That's right. We teach people how to schedule themselves, how to organize a plan of action, and how to carry it out. In fact, there's one thing that I would like to share with you. We have time here for a second?
Yes, we do.
Okay. One thing that I'm working on right now is called COP Hunt, C-O-P, Hunt. Everybody likes to go on a hunt, whether it's an Easter egg hunt or go deer hunting or whatever. Charlie comes home from work, and he's bored that afternoon. So he says, okay, kids, we're going to go out for dinner. But before we go, we're going to get Mom and everybody in the car. And before we can go, we've got to find a cop. We're going on a cop hunt. The kids are all excited. Now, Charlie has already contacted me, and he's got some master copies of a cop hunt pamphlet that we've put together.
Uh-huh.
It's about the New World Order conspiracy and how they're trying to suck the law enforcement into it. And he's made some copies of that master that I sent to him. And the family gets in the car, and they go out, and they start searching. They're lurking for cops. This is what my wife and I do all the time with our literature. We find them parked at some place for lunch, or they're parked behind a sign or whatever, and we pull in, and we say, hi, gentlemen. Our family has a free gift for you. We'd appreciate it if you'd read it. And if you approve of it, would you please make copies and give it to your friends and people on the force?
Uh-huh.
And that's one thing that you can do to exercise assertiveness and try to get to the cops. And so anybody out there that's listening, if they want to contact our organization, I'll send them a master of our cop hunt pamphlet, and they can make copies and do the same thing. It's fun. It's legal. It's moral. It's ethical. And it's patriotic.
And it's necessary.
Yes, absolutely.
would you tell the audience how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, if they're on the internet, it's Conspiratology, 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 at Hotmail, HOTMAIL.com. Or they could write to us at P.O. Box 5232, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, C-O-E-U-R, small d hyphen capital A-L-E-N-E, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 83814. And if they'll write to us and send us a little postage, we'll be happy to put in a master copy of our brand new pamphlet that's really red hot for cops, and we'll send it. They can make copies of it and hand it out all over their community. And one of the things in the pamphlet, it tries to get your local police department to contact me so I can go there and give a lecture and deprogram the entire police department. That's what we do.
That would be excellent. I'm definitely interested in that. And I'll be writing to you here. You can count on it.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. And again, that folks, if you missed any of this, you can send for a copy of this whole program for a $5 donation. I gave it to you earlier. It's PO Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. This is absolutely great. I really applaud what you're doing. Okay, I want to get to the next one because we only got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
Now, if you could pass legislation, what kind of laws would you pass?
Well, that's a good question. Let me just kind of ramble here on that one. I think there's a lot of ideas. As a conspiratologist, I suspect that the first thing I would do would be go back in history and go through the FBI files of J. Edgar Hoover. Most of you remember back in the 20s and 30s, Hoover and the boys unearthed a lot of communist cell groups. And they busted these organizations, and in their safes, they found organizational structure and objectives for the Communist Party USA. Now, if you think that communism is dead, you got another thing coming. All you have to do is go to your internet and look up in the your search engines under Communist Party USA, and then just stand back and look at the list. They're all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And I was quite surprised to see that the Green Party has a policy program almost identical to the Communist USA. But anyway, in passing legislation now, you'd have to go back and look at all the communist objectives and then look up all the legislation, the thousands and thousands of laws that have been passed by our treasonous Congress, and then repeal virtually everything that you find.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Now, as I think about this, if I was in charge of this country, one of the first things that I would do was establish a legislative death oath. I repeat, a death oath. That means it's an oath of political office. It's an oath that says that if you are found guilty of premeditated crime against the people, you will forfeit your life. If you commit a crime against the people and dispel your oath of office, either in spirit or in fact, you will be killed. Then I don't think we'd have many politicians coming to office that weren't really serious about about their job.
I agree.
We wouldn't have any law enforcement, police chiefs, and county sheriffs that were taking oaths that weren't really serious about this oath. Now, this oath would only be to white people in America. Jews would not be in office. Blacks and Hispanics would not rule over white people in this country. Only whites would take the death oath, and only whites would have political power.
Just like the Bible says.
Yes, whatever.
Okay.
But that would be the thing that I would start. That would eliminate a tremendous amount of problems in this country.
Absolutely.
When you have so many people in positions of leadership then who take the death oath, then this country would just automatically clean its act up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that I would pass as far as legislation would be a national educational program that all peoples, regardless of their color, regardless of who they are, would have to undergo a national educational reprogramming situation. And after they did, they would be given a certificate of completion that would make you a voter. No non-whites would not be able to vote in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, you have to remember this one very, very important thing when you're deprogramming people, is that this racial situation, this whole Jewish thing, the blacks, Hispanics, the Asiatic infiltration of this country, that all came about because of conspiratorial fraud.
Mm-hmm.
All white people in this country are the victims of a fraudulent crime. That means that this crime can be redone. It can be cleaned up. It wasn't a natural sociological situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is extremely important when you're talking to people about the conspiracy. And so therefore, this country could clean up its act. It could deport non-whites back to their countries after they have been deprogrammed and they have gotten the institutional message. They go back to their original country, and now they are prepared. They're armored with the political knowledge to set up their own countries, conduct their own future, their free enterprise systems, their idea of self-determination, and this world could be basically changed overnight. Once the people of the world come to a clear understanding of the international Judeo-Marxist conspiracy by an international race of psychopathic killers and pathological liars.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I got one more here for you.
Okay.
What, in your opinion, do you think we should be doing before the inevitable revolution?
Well, obviously, the only thing that we can be doing is what's legal. And it's up to us to exercise every bit of our abilities to change the laws so that we can be more and more effective in getting to the people. Right now, the only thing that we can do is deprogram our police, our relatives, our neighbors, Aunt Jenny and Uncle Ben, and especially the teenagers. We've got to figure out some way of breaking this mental disease called liberalism and getting our message into the schools. Because right now, the only people that can get into the schools to lecture your kids are the rabbis, the homosexual gays and lesbians, the left-wing Marxist purveyors of hate, and that's all we can do, is influence the people in high position. And I want to emphasize, especially in the churches, we've got to do something to threaten, to intimidate, to scare the daylights out of ministers so that they will start to tell the truth and stand up for what's right and what is historically correct. Ministers are money grabbers that do nothing basically but try to appease the people and do what's politically correct to stay in business.
It's a business. I agree. I would highly recommend people also at the same time that they're looking into ways we can take back our schools and our churches. Homeschooling is a alternative if you just can't seem to get the public school system straightened out. I would encourage people to look into the homeschooling.
Yes, I mentioned that on our last program, and I totally agree. Homeschooling is very big here in Idaho and Oregon and Washington State.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's some excellent programs out there. If anybody writes to us, we'll be glad to put them in touch. Here you go. We have a copy of this one. It's 22 CDs in a set, and it includes the 1911 Encyclopedia Britannica, the 1611 King James Bible, 400 and some old books like Pilgrim's Progress, a 1912 Webster's Dictionary. All this for, I believe the price was $195. Absolutely incredible.
Wow.
But it's specifically made by the Robinson family, and it's a self-paced, self-study home curriculum. And that's what's the beautiful part of it. It doesn't take up a lot of time of the parents.
Sure.
You basically get the children going, and they teach themselves. And real quick, if anybody's interested in that material, they can go to www.greatsite.com, and the organization is called Great Site Marketing. And if you want to write to them, I'll tell you what, better than that, I'll give you the 800 number so because we're running out of time. It's 800-422-6243. And again, that's Great Site Marketing. They have an excellent CD collection there with just tons and tons. I mean, if you were to buy all those books, it would cost you thousands and thousands of dollars.
Sure.
So there are great helps out there, and our people definitely need to get their heads out of their dark posteriors and see the light of day and understand we are in serious trouble in this country, and we need to get serious about some solutions, and that's why I really enjoyed having you come on the program here. We got about a minute left. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the last minute here if you want to round it up for what you'd like to tell the audience.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Dan, and I want to tell your audience that I appreciate being on the program. It's been very, very nice being able to talk with you folks. I guess my parting message would be that we've got to take a more assertive stand. Our people are facing genocide. We're facing extinction, just like in the Rare Earth book. We've got to stand up. We've got to take the initiative to let our voices be heard. We cannot be bashful any longer. We cannot be politically correct any longer. We've got to speak the unspeakable. And if you lose your friends, if you lose your reputation, if you lose your standing in the community and your church, tough nuggets. There's a Mormon hymn that says, do what is right, let the consequence follow. Battle for freedom in spirit and might. And that's what we've got to do.
I agree. Well, Richard, again, thanks a million for coming on, and we'll have to do it again sometime. And God bless you, and you know, keep up the good work, and we'll just keep plugging at this thing.
Same with you.
Take care now.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's it, folks. Yahweh willing, we'll see you next Friday night, 9 p.m., same time, same station. Yahweh bless, and keep up the fight. Keep your powder dry. Hallelujah.
And the bones are showing through, but all you know to do is press the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. You press the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious.
Broadcasting worldwide, this is the Heritage.